Good morning and good morning, Dean. This is a great honor and privilege for me to be here talking for this special occasion for INS symposium. And actually, I was one of the luckiest one, maybe you can say. I had the privilege and honor to be at Cellnit Lab for about 8 years, working with RIN. And one thing I always remember, RIN always says that I'm an engineer, and truly. And I started as an engineering graduate student, and then I came to Cellnit Lab with the ambition to learn something from RIN, and that really hooked me up. So the basic idea was trying to take some of the sciences that RIN and the Cellnit Lab has developed over years and how to apply for other applications over the time. So that was kind of my main motivation. The most of the presentations and the work that has been going on in the last century, or you can say last several decades, are in this 4 scale, and that is what you have seen in RIN's work as well. But what we have tried to do, take those understanding and try to extrapolate for different applications in hydrology, weather predictions, climate forecasting, and other things that works at the larger scale. So the processes are at larger scale, so how to get the parameters that the hydraulic conductivity, etc., are the larger scale. So if we look into the Earth space, in a two-dimensional context, do we have any technique available that is that can give you the hydraulic conductivity at this different scale for different applications? Truly not, because most of the time we encounter these 4 scale processes and we have techniques that goes only at the lab scale, and we don't have any other support volume that can address these climate modelers who are looking for 1 degree by 1 degree, or weather modelers who are looking for kilometer by kilometer scale parameters there. So the main objective of our study in last 10, 15 years has been to look into this, all these basic processes and how to extrapolate the information for different locations while you can measure from the remote sensing, the soil moisture, for example, that has been going on in last couple of decades. So most of the time, what I was looking at is the soil texture and the variations, as well as the groundwater table, different irrigation frequencies and crop type, soil layers, etc., and different hydroclimatic conditions like wet, dry, and those kind of situations, whether we can derive the hydraulic conductivity of the Fedos zone using the information that we can gather from the remote sensing platforms. So that is kind of our overarching big question here. Can we quantify the processes and the parameters at the scale of our interest, which is much larger than maybe the 4 scale? So in the recent past, or the recent years, people have in hydrology and atmospheric science community, as well as in other disciplines, developed all these techniques where you can measure the hydraulic the soil moisture at the scale of several kilometers, like space-borne sensors using AQUA or AMSAR satellites that gives you the soil moisture on the skin for the entire globe. And then there are several airborne sensors that can give you the soil moisture at much finer frequencies, or that can give you like kilometer scale if you are going across a smaller region. And you also have these finer truck-based or tower-based sensors that can give you the local support at meter scale. And of course, we are very familiar with the TDR and other techniques at the finer scale. So my interest, and actually I was talking to Harry Virikan this morning, and the SMOS mission by ESA just launched this morning. And so that is a good news, so it will give us more data in the next decade. And NASA is also planning to launch several satellites, and one of the most important one is the soil moisture active and passive sensor, which is SMAP mission, going to be flying in next few years from JPL. So all these new data sets that come together can give you a lot more access to the data sets to derive the new parameters or understand the hydrology and taking the soil physics to the next level. So basically, it's nothing but you are trying to measure the emissivity, which is the ground that is related to your dielectric properties, and you try to get a spatiotemporal data as the satellite or the airborne sensor flies on the loop. So basically, we try to get a spatiotemporal data based on the emission, and we try to take the use of that and filter out the vegetation component and some of the other components like soil temperature that affects the soil moisture, and some of these other things that create any signature on the remote sensing brightness temperature. So basically, we try to take this microwave band where you try to get the soil moisture near the surface. It varies between L band, which is 5 centimeter penetration depth, to C band and X band, which is much more skin. And there are several research mode soil moisture which can go Ku band, that can go much deeper. So we are trying to take all these different sensors and try to get use these data sets to understand the spatiotemporal dynamics. Just to give a perspective how it looks like, this is a global data set. You can see the AMSAT satellite gives you on a global sense on one day, and then it continues spinning over and give you a continuous data for years and years. And same thing, if you can go and do a pilot study in the field, you can get all the soil moisture signatures with time as you progress from day one to day N. And when you have a rainfall event, you can see quickly that there is a signature on your soil moisture pattern that happens in the soil moisture. So it's like airborne sensors. So using the spatiotemporal data set, how can we use to our advantage to understand better the soil hydrology that is kind of missing at this point of time beyond the pore scale or the local scale features? So basically, that is our big question. So the current limitation, somebody comes and the atmospheric modeler says, I want the hydraulic conductivity, which is part of my global circulation model. Can you give me a parameter that can fit in and give me the feedback to the atmosphere from the soil hydrology? So in that case, basically, you are trying to, not only the soil is the only parameter, you are actually encountering variations in the vegetation, topographic features. All these things come together that generates your total hydrology that is happening at that particular pixel scale or footprint scale. So we are not talking about anything here, physics, but more effective or functional parameter that can describe your hydrology in the sense of, it can describe the fluxes out, and it can describe your signature that you are observing continuously from these different platforms. So basically, everybody knows in this community what we're talking about. The basic assumption, we still assume the Richards equation works in this context, and it is one-dimensional. That means the flow is happening vertically down. So we have all these parameters intact, and the remote sensing gives only this near surface soil moisture values. And not to mention, the soil hydraulic functions are nonlinear, so we have to account for using like Van-Gennington equations. That is what we are interested in. We are trying to get this alpha, N, Ks, theta S, theta R, these 5 parameters using this spatiotemporal soil moisture data that is measured by the remote sensing platform. So basically, the traditionally we have done in the past, how to take this all this information here and in the lab or in the field and try to get a correlation length scale as well as some other geostatistics teached out, and then try to develop this particular field here. So that way, you can aggregate the information or homogenize the information and get an effective parameter for the pixel you are interested in. So that is kind of the traditional bottom-up approach you try to take. But what we are trying to do right now, basically take the data set that is available to you from these different platforms and use the data sets to derive your parameters that can be functionally reliable over the years to come. So basically what we do, basically we go to the different fields and when the flights are on, we take the satellite data, the airborne data, as well as the ground data at different scales. So that way we can concertly or synchronously get this information out for our validation purposes and also as the parameter scale what we are interested in. Just want to a caveat here, we are not interested here to verify or say that all the physics we find out at the scale of a footprint of a remote sensor or like a spaceborne sensor are going to be valid at the scale of your core. What we are trying to say that maybe there is a scale effect right there because you are trying to take the information at the large scale, which is functionally different because of the different combinations of the attributes that exist, coexist at that particular location and that particular scale. So we can take this information from these different platforms, different footprint scales, and try to get the inversely estimated parameters that then you can do a upscaling and downscaling schemes that can give you the intermediate scale information for your different applications. So that is kind of the approach we are trying to take for this. we have developed several different schemes in the last couple of years where we are trying to take all this remote sensing data and develop data simulation schemes and inverse estimation schemes using different process-based model. Basically, this is the SWAP model, for example, or Hydrus model you can take, and you can plug it in here, and you have a genetic algorithm, which is the optimization scheme, and you try to get the parameters. We basically have done here the genetic algorithm. So your parameter is binary space, and you have a lot of combinations of that. So essentially, you have billions of combinations of these five parameters of Hanke-Newton parameters that you can derive using the remote sensing data. So we have taken here the optimization scheme where you have the predicted soil moisture over the observed values, and you can also do the same thing with evapotranspiration to keep the water balance going on. So basically, you can also add another component here with ET. So with this optimization, we have actually published a couple of papers there, and they're all available right now, to show that how the soil moisture could give you the hydraulic parameters, effective hydraulic parameters at the scale of your interest. This is another variation to that, because that time we were just talking about the particular parameters, but sometimes we also look into the uncertainty of these parameters. So to address the uncertainty of the parameters, we have also developed a noisy Monte Carlo genetic algorithm scheme where you actually get the parameter, not only the parameter as per the say, but you get the entire distribution of the parameters. Basically, you get the mean value as well as the distribution of the parameters that predict your soil moisture as it evolves in the field. And that you can verify with the data set that you gather from these remote sensing platforms, for example. So this is basically, it gives you the parameter with the parameter space included. Just to give an example here, this is just a time series data of a remote sensing, of an airborne remote sensor, where you have the time series data day 1 to day n. And just let's take this water set and take 1 or 3 pixels here. These are like kilometer by kilometer pixel. And this is the consequential soil moisture values that we get it from the airborne sensor called A*. So using this time series data, how we derive the parameters and how it looks on the ground. So this is basically these 4 different fields, kilometer by kilometer, and using this inverse estimation scheme, we derive this parameter, which is the solid line. So the solid line gives with the bound also the uncertainty. And this is the actual measurements we did about 100 points within the field here that gives the spread. And this is another set of variation here. Basically, we try to see the UNSODA database, which is based on the dominant soil texture that is located in that particular field. And we can see that in most occasions, even though in some occasions they're kind of a little far off, but in some other occasions, our data sets and some of those variations are well captured by this inverse estimation scheme. And as I said, I want to point out, we are not eager to match the data sets because we think there is a scale effect going on, and we have discussed it in some other work, showing that how the scale effect can be adjusted by different downscaling and upscaling schemes. This is another level of verification, because with the data sets we gathered by the inverse estimation, we predicted the soil moisture. And this is, there are multi-level of verification here. So this is your predicted value, the solid line with the variations. Plus the bound here, you can see that is the ground truth data. We go to the field and collect about several hundred points to verify whether the data is matching to our predictions. And at the same time, these bullets are showing the remote sensing data, that is the snapshot that collects from the airborne sensors. So it gives you a multi-level of verification that some of our predictions of the parameters are doing the job what we're looking for. So these are all different fields in different locations, and we are more confident about our approach. So not only in US, we have done in Oklahoma, et cetera, in US, then in Iowa, Illinois, Arizona, et cetera. But we also have tried this from other data sets coming from Italy, Ukraine, Australia, and China. And we also find our predictions in the soil moisture using this technique are pretty good. And also the corresponding values of these effective parameters are also reasonably well established based on the data sets we gather from the field. And this is another level, just we try to take this, all this data set that is collected or the effective parameters we gather at one scale, how to do that upscaling and downscaling. We have also developed some schemes, including Markov's and Monte Carlo schemes, where you take these data sets or the distributions and do the time series likelihood from the remote sensing data and ultimately come up with a scale parameter, beta, that gives you the corresponding value that you can take one value and you can translate to another value based on your scale of applications. So with that, I just want to conclude, I think Rin's contribution to these hydraulic properties and all these things has been tremendous, and as everybody knows here, and I just want to say this is another level. We can take his findings and his ideas to various applications in hydrology and climatology and weather prediction to many different things. And I just want to thank him as well as thank the audience here and for all the contributions he has made over the past three decades.